Good morning. I just want to say I'm so grateful that we get to share this morning together. Our reading today is from in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 and 8, and it can be found in the Old Testament in your Pew Bible on page 186. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, as we gather on this first Sunday of the season of Advent in 2018, we come from many different places. We are many different people. We come with different joys and burdens and concerns. And yet, God, we come here for one reason, the reason that unites us. We come here because we long for you. We long to be with you and to hear you speak. We long to hear your voice. We long to please you, to honor you, and to worship you. It's that singular longing for you that unites us and brings us together, no matter who we are, no matter where we've come from, no matter what may be in our hearts and our minds. And so, God, we pray that you would meet that longing, and that we would meet you here. In Christ's name, amen. So, what are you afraid of? It's an important question. What are you afraid of? What fear or fears are you carrying with you right now? Because we're all afraid of something, and most of us are afraid of some things. Fear is simply a part and parcel of our lives. So what are you afraid of? The dark, bugs, siblings? Being single, being married. I know one common fear that many people bring with them to church on Sunday. How long is the sermon going to be? Be not afraid. I will be brief and to the point. Fear is real. And it's not something to be dismissed. And in fact, often fear is one of the greatest gifts of God that he gives us. Fear is given to us by God to awaken in us a sense of threat or danger. It's fear that often protects us and keeps us from harm. God gives us certain fear in order to bless us and to keep us and protect us. Fear is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it is often a very good thing. But then there is a fear that is an unhealthy fear and an unnatural fear. And these are the kind of fears that we really need to look at closely and examine in our hearts. When we ask ourselves that question, what am I afraid of? The question is that a healthy fear or is that a debilitating fear? Is that a fear that God has given to help you and encourage you and protect you? Or is that a fear that you are allowing to control you so that you aren't able to become the person God has created you to be? You know, there are people who pry and prey upon our fears. Salespersons and politicians know that because people are afraid, they will use the fear as a way of motivating you to purchase or buy something or vote in a particular way. The fear mongers are among us all the time. Order now before it's too late. Oh my gosh, I better not miss out on that. My life will be greatly diminished. Fear of missing out on some great deal or some great bargain. You know, people are now, marketing to people to buy food that lasts 25 years. Hoard food because you never know when some calamity, some major disaster is going to happen and you're not going to have any food to eat. And so fill your basements with 25-year food that'll always be there no matter what happens. People preying on our fears, advertisements and on both sides of the political measure. If so-and-so gets into office, so the worst thing in the world's going to happen. Be afraid, be very afraid. Hordes of people invading our country, storming the walls. Be afraid, be very afraid. It motivates people preying upon our God-given gift of fear. We want to protect our children. One of the great fears that all parents have is that something could happen to our kids. And so we try to protect them, and we try to do that the very best we can. But friends, be very careful that you aren't motivated so much by your fear of something happening to your kids that you actually are debilitating them in the process that you think you're protecting them. We have this new phenomenon now of helicopter parents. You heard of this? You are this, right? You know who I'm talking about. I mean, these parents who are like hovering over their kids, trying to protect them from every little tiny thing that could happen, possibly happen, might happen, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. Children growing up absolutely terrified of life because their parents are trying so hard to protect them. They're terrified of other people. They're terrified of stepping out of bounds, trying something new. God has also placed in us the need to take risks, to try things, to fail as part of His way of helping us grow. And when we protect our children from every possible thing that we can imagine, it actually stunts their spiritual growth. We think we're protecting them, and we're actually harming them by not letting them try things. Take risks, fall down, get hurt, learn from their mistakes. One of the greatest ironies is, with all these false fears and fake fears that people put out there that kind of grab us and get us, there's one actual real fear. And it's funny, a lot of these helicopter parents who live in the gated communities with high-tech security systems to make sure some random crazy person doesn't somehow break in the middle of the night and do some wild thing to their kids, they're the first ones to drive out of their high-tech security home in their SUVs through the gated community with their kids, safely strapped in the back seat, and pull out their cell phone and start texting while they're driving. Now, that's a real danger. That is a real danger, folks. And yet we participate in that and we don't even think about it. 330,000 accidents caused by distracted driving this past year. 25% of all highway fatalities caused by people texting and driving. And yet we do that and we don't think about it. And yet we think we're protecting our kids by all these crazy things that aren't necessary. And what are we actually teaching them? What are they actually seeing and learning from us? Think about it, folks. The fact of the matter is, the world is not a safe place. And listen, I understand the need for vigilance. I understand that there are some really common sense things we should do to protect ourselves and our families. But I also know that what Helen Keller said many years ago is still true today. Security, she said, is mostly a superstition. it does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. God himself is not secure. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. Faith is what defends us. Faith is what defends us because life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing. Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing. This Advent season, I want us to become really honest about our fears and facing our fears. And really asking ourselves, are there things that you are living in fear about that you have, you know, put your resources toward in trying to protect yourself and your family that simply aren't necessary? And are there ways that you and I are acting fearfully that's actually stunting our spiritual growth rather than enhancing it? That unwillingness to try new things and take risks and to step out in faith, the very things that God is calling us to do are the things that, because of fear, many of us are holding back from, and we're not experiencing the fullness of life that God wants for us. You know, this text that we hear this morning is one of many, many places. In fact, the most common commandment, the most common admonition found in all of Scripture is what? Fear not, or be not afraid. Over 100 different times in all the different Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, the Word of God says, fear not, do not be afraid. Over and over and over again, it's the most common commandment and word that we hear from God through His Scriptures. And this is one of the very first times. The context of this book of Deuteronomy is the people have been guided by God through His servant Moses out of bondage of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. And they're right on the verge of going into the promised land. And Moses has become an old man. His years of service are coming to an end. And he is about to die. And the people are frightened of the future. And they should be. This is a normal fear. This is an absolutely fear that makes sense. What the heck are we going to do without Moses? A whole generation of people knew no other leader than Moses. Moses was the one who had the strength to stand up to Pharaoh. Moses was the one who got them the water out of the rock. Moses was the one who made sure they had enough food to eat. Moses was the one who made the decisions of where to go. Moses was the one who brought the word down from Mount Sinai. Moses is about to die. What are we going to do now? The people are afraid. You know, when we lose a parent or a mentor or a loved one who has played that kind of role, there is a fear in our life. What does the future hold now? And that fear could have easily debilitated these people so much so that they just would have decided not to have crossed the Jordan River into the land that God had promised them. It may have debilitated them so much that they would have decided to go on back to Egypt. And it's in that context that Moses stands up and he brings his chosen successor, Joshua, and he stands him up in front of the people and he says to Joshua, but in front of all of the people, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Because God has already gone into the land ahead of you. Not only has God gone ahead of you, but God is going to be with you each and every step of the way. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't me, Moses, who led you. It was God who led you. God's the one who has brought you this far, and He's going to take you the rest of the way. So fear not. Be bold and courageous. And I believe that that's what God wants to say to you and to me this morning. No matter what you might be afraid of right now, no matter how real and perhaps even healthy that fear is, God is saying to you, fear not. Don't be afraid. I've got your future because I've had your past and I'm with you in the present. Patrick Miller, an Old Testament theologian, said, "The fundamental issue for faith is how you face the future. Will the community's experience of God's care in the past determine its attitude toward the future? There is no word more persistent and repeated in all Scripture than this: fear not, the Lord goes with you now as before." That is what faithfulness of God means. So take courage. Lord, we thank you for this first Sunday of Advent. I pray for my friends, particularly those, God, who are facing real and debilitating fear right now. Fear of health, fear of a loss of a job, perhaps fear of not being able to pay their bills. God, I know these are real things. And yet, I pray, God, they will not be undone by whatever those fears are. But that today, God, we would leave here as a courageous people, each and every one of us. A people unafraid to step out into your future, because we know you are the one who holds the future in your hands. Help us to hear, God, not just hear, but to trust and believe this word, to fear not. For you have gone before us, and you are with us. In Christ's name, amen.